Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another GOGcast. My name is Leah. I'm your host for this show. This is episode number 145 and another awesome one for you. We got to talk for topic of the show with Pixel Princess 80, one of our stream team members who just went on an adventure to PAX South, and she got to do some cool stuff while there, including stream at the Mixer booth and play a unreleased game, a little bit of Darwin Project, hailing right out of here in Montreal. I can't wait to get my hands on that game. It looks like a ton of fun. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you to all the friendly voices you're hearing around this digital table. Catherine, how goes?
I'm good. I'm happy. It's been a nice week. There's been snow and good weather.
Yeah,
and my nose hasn't fallen off.
It felt like a minus million degrees outside.
Exactly. How you doing, Allie?
Doing pretty good. I'm back. Yeah. Back in action.
Yeah, we missed you last week.
After a week of inaction.
Yeah, you're all healed up?
It's getting there. The second degree burns are healing, and looks like I've got a fractured elbow, but the wrists are healing up pretty well.
You have a fractured elbow?
Yeah, it's looking like that.
What the hell did you do?
I tripped over a baby gate. Like the gate that we have for our dog. And I fell. Like, I've been tripping over it for like ever. And then I just finally fell at like ass over tea kettle. Oh. And on the other side of it is like a cement floor. And I just threw my hands out to catch myself because I threw my hands out to catch myself because I didn't want to land on my fiance's drone.
Wow.
That's literally why I did what I did.
Aren't you a considerate fiance?
That's love. That's love right there.
So yeah, so I really messed up everything. And then promptly, like, two days later, I got burns all over my left hand from an industrial strength glue gun. So that
My God.
Wasn't your week.
Was not my week, so but I'm better now. I haven't hurt myself in a while, and I'm ready to be back on the podcast.
Have you had x-rays on your poor elbow?
Not yet. I went to the doctor, and he said, I don't know, okay, I should take a note about what type of fracture he said it was, but he said it can take up to a week or 2 weeks for the fracture to actually show up on the x-ray.
Okay.
So I have to go back. But in the meantime, I've been taking, like, anti-inflammatories, and they're just not doing anything, and I have, limited mobility, so it's, you know, waiting.
Oh my goodness.
Damn.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now than closer to your wedding, because I was in the wedding party of my friend who broke her foot 2 days before the wedding.
Oh no.
So yeah, it ended up being absolutely hilarious because the crutches became part of the thing. It's Holly and Seth. Catherine, Holly broken
really?
Her foot. Yeah.
Aww.
Oh my.
Man, I almost dropped a pretty huge Doki Doki fucking spoiler when Allie was talking. And I was like,
oh, yeah?
No, don't say anything, Simon. Do not talk about that game. Me and Kat just finished watching the last episode of Game Grumps, the playthrough of Doki Doki. And wow.
So how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm sad that is over, but I'm doing well as a person, I guess, if you could say that.
And now, if I've never watched Game Grumps before, should I watch this series?
Yeah, because I'm not a big fan of Game Grumps. I find Danny a bit of an annoying, but that playthrough I enjoyed.
Danny's the best. Yeah, Danny has reaction.
He does nothing. All he does is have this annoying laugh while Aaron does everything.
No, he has an amazing laugh. He's funny. He's smart. He's gorgeous. He has so much wisdom, and I love him, okay? So you shut your mouth, all right, there?
it's time to talk about what games we've been playing instead of watching what other people are playing, though I am guilty of that myself. Mm. Let's start with Allie since she's been away for a bit. What have you been playing?
Over the past 2 weeks, I've played through two Remedy games. I played through Quantum Break, and I also played through Alan Wake. So I've been kind of busy. I'm disappointed I slept on Quantum Break. I really wish I had played that closer to the game's release, because I really, really, really enjoyed it, and I'd like to see more games like that. I don't know how many you guys have played it, but
I did.
It was pretty freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a huge fan of how long the episodes, like the actual television episodes were. I thought they were a little long. But other than that, I thought the production quality was great. I thought the story was great. It got a little bit long in the tooth, but, I mean, that was kind of, you know, like a minor complaint. And then just recently, like, just over the past, like, 2 days, I finished Alan Wake, which is a 360 game that I'm playing backwards compatibly on the Xbox One X. And I did not like it.
No? Because no. I've heard nothing but good about that game.
I know. And I was very, very disappointed. And I honestly owe it to the fact that I think I played it too late. Mm. I played it 8 years after release. Mm. And I think I've played so many games before it that have been inspired by Alan Wake and have built upon, you know, the skeleton of what that game did and have done it better. And so I feel like it kind of ruined Alan Wake for me. I thought it was so long and so boring.
Like, it was drawn out,
and it was just like the same thing over and over and over again. Like, I didn't realize how much combat was in that game. I don't know if you guys have played it.
No, I haven't.
But I had no idea how much combat was in that game. I really thought it was more of a an exploration mystery type game. Mm-hmm. Turns out not the case. It was constantly in combat. Like, it felt like the same three scenarios over and over again. And I also did not care at all about my wife that I was searching for. So that made, like, honestly, I don't know how many, I streamed the whole thing. And I don't know how many times I uttered the word fucking Alice. Like, because that's her name.
My wife.
I just kept being like, fucking Alice. I just leave your ass here. I'm going to leave. If I was Alan, I'd be packing up my shit and leaving. I'm a best-selling author. I can get as much, you know, I can get as many women as I want. But no, we had to go find Alice. Anyways, Alan Wake, I'm sorry. I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't like it. But yeah, that's what I played recently.
It's funny you say that, how important pacing is in a game. And like, especially in those that are more story-driven in that regard. It makes me think about, like, I guess this analogy, especially since you played Quantum Break and Alan Wake at the same time, also, that rhymes.
What? That, Quantum Break and...
If you say Alan Wake, Quantum Break, it kind of
rhymes. Oh, wow.
Sorry. That's just, never mind. It's just Leah being Leah. I think about, like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind when I watch, or Fourth Kind, or whatever it's called, but I watched that back in, you know, a few years back.
Amazing movie.
Like, everybody's like, this movie is awesome. It's so bloody long and drawn out.
The scene with the way they arrive is like, oh. Mm.
I think it's super important, Leah, too, as you say, like, you just watched it for the first time a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, you see all of, like, you've probably, in the meantime, since that movie has come out, until you watched it, have seen so many pieces of media that have been inspired by it.
Totally.
And have improved upon, you know, the whole, like, recipe. And that's, I think, the same thing that happened with Alan Wake. I was just like, oh, God, like, this could have been so great.
And we see this so much in video games because we're dealing with a medium that is evolving so fast that it could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 5 years, but the leaps and bounds, that storytelling, that mechanics, that everything grows in. I mean, that's why some old 3D polygon games just don't hold up. And, you know, it's just the world we live in. But we still have fond memories of when we played them.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to give props. Visually, the game is still really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, considering how old it is, I was playing it on an X. It looked really, really great. But yeah, I was just disappointed that it had to go that way.
You can't like them all.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I respect it. I respect what it did for the genre.
Mm-hmm.
But I just did not like it.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. Catherine, how goes that persona?
I'm about to start the fifth palace.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just got Futaba as a confidant and the kid that plays a gun game. It's going well. We had a big debate on Twitter about the storytelling.
Yeah, I saw that.
I want to make that into a GOG cast at some point when you guys are done playing the game.
Yeah, but, like, overall, it's still a great game. It's still an amazing game. It's just there's little blips in the storytelling where, like, were you drunk? Did you forget to review?
the scene before submitting it for approval. Did somebody review the scene before? Anyway, that's a whole other story. But all in all, I'm still having a lot of fun with my playthrough. I'm starting to get anxiety as to will I have time to do everything? As we do with any game that has a calendar system and a limited amount of time. And it's just like...
The reason I couldn't play Majora's Mask, the fucking timer. I'm like, nope, anxiety, fuck that noise.
But it's like you figure, I have six... They start the game and it says you have 6 months. I'm like, 6 months is enough. But I just finished summer vacation and now I'm just like, huh, am I going to max out the confidence I want to? Who do I want to romance? What is life? Yeah. So, but I'm playing on normal, so it's fairly easy to get things done once you get the hang of it. But still a great game. Loving every second of it. We'll ignore the some of the scenes that are less tasteful and keep all that salt for... our GOG guest.
It's coming. It's coming.
Other than that, Alice turned me on to a visual novel like game on mobile called The Arcana.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Like the artwork is great, and the base story right now it's a bit slow. But yeah, today she messaged me on the work Skype, being I can't play anymore unless everything else is hidden behind a paywall. I'm like, motherfucker. Because you need in-game currency or keys that regenerate with hours and things like that to go and unlock certain chapters. And she's like, I don't know how I'm going to get all of this. But it's like, she's like, it's $20 per chapter. She's like, just sell me the game for 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might stop playing. I might, before I'm too invested, I might stop playing if it's too much, because that's what happened with the I was playing the Kim Kardashian game and it was a really fun game, but I had to stop because there's no way you could thrive or actually get shit done without spending money, and I'm against that. So yeah, microtransaction peeps. So I told her, I'm like, just get a manga reading app that can download manga to your phone and find yourself some smut to read that way.
Exactly.
There you go. How about you, Simon? What you playing?
Same old, same old, pretty much. So, you know, we got lots of Siege lately, and lots of WoW as well. New content patch came up, so I'm kind of, I'm really into that that stuff. So yeah, I'm having a good time.
I got an invite today about a Siege event here in town. So
yeah, well, you have the I don't know if it's the Invitational. Probably.
I think so. Yeah, it's the Invitational. I think it's the same thing that we were talking about last week with Camille. It's the
yeah,
the Northern Arena event. But I got an invite.
No, that's
cool.
that's a different thing.
It's different? Okay.
Yeah, the Northern Arena thing. Well, it's because the Northern Arena have an online circuit, which is like a league that kind of a quick tournament that happens every weekend all the way up until the Invitational. And the final for that will happen on like at the same place. Oh, no, a different place. Will happen the same weekend as the Invitational.
Okay.
But like at a different location, the finals for that. But the Invitational is at the Tōyū, which is like the circus thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And the like Northern Arena online circuit finals are in a different location. I'm not exactly sure what it is. But yeah, I mean, lots of Siege. I'm finally, after 30 hours, finally starting to understand the maps. And like how to kind of like get around a few of them and start to understand entry points and stuff. So, yeah, definitely having a great time playing that game. It's really fantastic. And I know this is not Oban, but I'm really excited to say that big organizations are finally started to pick up Rainbow Six teams. So you got Liquid earlier this week who announced that they picked up a team. And FaZe, just today, FaZe announced that they were picking up Rainbow Six Siege team as well. So we're finally starting to see big names, big orgs, seeing the potential that Siege has. So I'm glad that I'm not on the ground floor for this, like it or not, because I really just started recently to play it. But I think that it's going to start to pick up in, you know, in 2018. So hopefully this this really blows up.
I think you're actually better off coming in when you did.
Yeah, I mean, the game is like, she's like a million times better than probably what it was when I first started. First started trying to play like a while ago, but I mean the game now is complete, it's full, it's You know, it's fun. It's mostly balanced, a few bugs here and there. But, like, in my 30 hours of playtime, really just one, I had one bug that was, that made the game, like, unplayable. Well, not unplayable. Like, I died, and then I just respawned after. So, so like, in 30 hours for an online game, I thought that was pretty cool. So, no, it's having a fantastic time. It's really cool. But, yeah, that's pretty much only two games I've been playing.
Good stuff. Yeah. I'm working my way through that Assassin's Creed Origins. I have 90% for the full 90? Kit of all them trophies. Dude, the last ones are brutal that I have to do. Oh. So I have to do all the fikes or whatever they're called. They're like the super bosses in the game. They're like these super strong enemies that like can, if they see you, they run at you. There's no stopping. I have to do the elephants, which I tried once or twice, but I think I need to sit down and have a strategy. And I am almost done clearing the map. It's so tedious. But we're getting there.
Good tedious so or many. Bad tedious?
good tedious in the fact that I enjoy some of it because I'm actually seeing a lot of the map that I didn't get to see before, like areas and stuff. Bad tedious in that I feel like the reason why I'm going to get the stuff is not good. Like, I'm not, I've already met level 40. I've actually redone level 40 three times in order, leveling up kind of thing. And I am so OP right now that I can go in anywhere and I don't even need to kill dudes. I just run in, grab what I need and get out. Or if I do have to kill dudes, like the captains or the commanders or whatever, I shoot them in the head with an arrow. They instantly die. I grab my loot and I get out. So it's like, I like the fact that I'm going and seeing places and seeing structures and land masses and all that kind of stuff that I didn't see before. But the actual reason for me to go there to kill stuff and loot things, I'm like, no. But I know why it's there. I mean, it's part of the leveling up system. If I had done this properly as I went through the game, then instead of me trying to power through the story when I did, it would have been more beneficial for me, and it probably, you know, would have had a harder learning curve. But I'm at the point now where I'm just too OP. And it kind of sucks, too, because I know that the DLC is coming real soon. Like, I think it might be next week or something. But and the level cap's coming up to 45. But I've now surpassed my level cap three times. I could be at level 43, right? Yeah. But I don't think I'm going to get that instantly. So I'm just going to have to continue doing stuff. Is there going to be enough stuff for me to do? I don't know. So
well, I mean, usually they add in enough experience to get you the five levels that you need. Like, if it's anything like any other expansion or you know, for Witcher or that kind of stuff, you know, usually the amount of content they add gives you at least like three times the amount of experience you would need to level to max level. So I would assume you'll be fine.
So, Leah, I think it's really interesting that you like are talking about it being tedious, because I have to admit I've stopped playing because there's just so much to do, and I feel like I'm going to lose 60 hours in this playing this game.
I'm at
and
80
but the thing is like not enjoy it, because I just feel this incessant compulsion to remove all those icons from my map and that really bothers me.
Yeah, and I was actually scared of those. I wish I could remember the name of it. Something with a phi. It's something with a P. I don't remember.
Papyrus?
No, not the papyrus. That stuff's not so bad.
The phylakis? The dudes.
Phylakis, that's it.
I fucking hate those guys.
So, yeah, I know. But once you're at level 40, you pwn them. You pwn them. There's no challenge. But the elephants are a whole other can of worms. And there's no reason to actually. The only time you. Okay, there's only one moment in the game when you actually fight an elephant proper in the grand scheme of the story. Mm-hmm. But there are four, and I have to complete them to get everything, and the last one that I have to complete has two elephants and they're freaking hard. So I'm like borderline sitting here thinking like, they're at level 40, maybe I should just wait till the DLC comes out, do what I've been doing with the whole process of this game where I get past their level and then they are super easy. I don't know if that'll be the case with the elephants though, so we'll see. So I've been playing that and Minecraft. I'm back in building at that again because it's therapeutic. There's nothing. I just sit there and like whack at things and that makes me zen. And that's what I've been playing. All right, guys, it's time to talk about some news. And I know we got a lot and I want to get into the topic of the show. And that's a good interview because I just did it right now. So let's do this right after the break. We'll be right back. It's time for some news. Catherine, what's going on in the world of mobile games?
Well, I don't know if you remembered, but there was the announcement of the creation of Portkey Games, a Warner Brothers Studios that was tasked with making all the Harry Potter games. From AAA to mobile to whatever, and they said their first game would be mobile. And they finally announced what it is, and it's called Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery. It's a role-playing game, and it is the first ever Harry Potter game where you get to make your own wizard. So you'll be able to make your Harry Potter world persona. And the story takes place in between the time Harry Potter is born and his enrollment at Hogwarts. So basically, Tonks and Bill Weasley will be students.
Really?
Yes. So it's kind of like a prequel sort of situation, but close enough for it to be very much in the world that we know and love. So, and it's coming to iOS and Android, they say, in 2018.
Nice.
So why are they not calling it a Potter Sona is what I want to know. Like, yeah, Dad Sona, First Sona, it's like that.
Yeah,
that.
Well, Potter Sona. I was trying to think of it on the fly, and you thought of it before me, so.
It's good, though. And this Potter is like an Sona. RPG, right? So yeah. You, if you make your character, has there been any tales about, like, connecting with other
Yes.
friends? Yeah?
Yeah, in the trailer it shows you can, like, duel with them, and looks like battle like frog cards.
Chocolate frog cards.
Yeah. Or something similar to that. And then on top of this game, we also have the Harry Potter Niantic game coming out.
Right.
Which is going to suck because it's Niantic.
Oh, come on.
So I'm being cautiously optimistic, but we've got so many Harry Potter games coming out.
I love it.
But there's no details on the Niantic one yet.
No, not really.
This one is made is it just Portkey or is it
with I believe somebody. It's just Portkey.
Yeah.
That's what the trailer opened up with.
Such a great name for a game studio.
I was going to say, what a weird name for a game studio.
Do you know what a portkey is, though?
Isn't it something for Harry Potter?
Yeah,
it's you transport. It'll warp. You touch it, and it warps you somewhere. Okay. So this is essentially the company warps you to another world, I guess, in the video game. I think it's really smart.
I think it's clever, too.
Yeah. All right, and last week we actually got to speak about a Nintendo Mini Direct that, like, popped out of nowhere. And then yesterday, another kind of Nintendo thing happened. Allie, you ready to fill us in on everything that Nintendo dropped in our laps?
Yeah. So Nintendo teased that they were going to be announcing something that would change the way that you play. And everyone got really excited. And everybody had all these different theories about what it was going to be. You know, they were, like, super into it. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, the announcement actually came. And Nintendo revealed Labo, which is a, and I quote, DIY build and play experience for the Switch. So basically what Labo is are USD $70 cardboard kits that you put together.
What? That's the price?
Yep. Yep.
What?
You put together and your Switch and the Joy-Cons fit in and there's different sets. There's like a robot set. There's like a backpack set and it comes with some customization options like stencils and stickers and whatnot, little washi tape and whatnot.
What? Hold on. So, like, I was super excited about this when they announced it. And I'm
cardboard.
Like, this is going to be super awesome because it's cheap and it's cardboard. But $70 American?
Yes.
What is that Canadian? Like, 90? Like,
a million.
But you got to buy a game, too, right?
I believe. Okay, so basically, here, let me break you. I'll break it down for you guys.
Okay.
What's written in this article in particular?
Okay.
It says Nintendo Labo will be released on April 20th, 2018, which, as somebody pointed out, 420, blaze it.
Yep.
The product line starts at $69.99 and currently includes a variety kit, which includes a house, RC cars, fishing rod, motorbike, and piano, and then the robot kit, which costs $79.99 and comes. Sorry. Oh my god. Anyways. costs $79.99 and comes with a cool robot suit. Each kit comes with its own software, so I assume you'll be getting a piece of paper with the download code on it. So I just want to start off by saying I know that this is not for me.
Yeah.
This is quite obviously directed at children.
Yeah.
The event that they're having in the UK, they're having like a hands-on experience. You actually have to have a child with you to attend. So this is quite obviously they're aiming towards a younger demographic. But am I the only person who can hear their father from back when they were like 10 years old going, "You want cardboard? There's some in the basement. Knock yourself out." My dad would not be spending $79
on fucking cardboard.
Anyways, this is different. Props to Nintendo for, you know, cashing in on the whole STM craze. That's all well and good. I personally know I will not be picking this up.
I mean, why would you?
It's the price that throws me for a loop. It's cardboard. Like, I can understand, like, the software, whatever, but, like, can I justify? And that's the thing, too, is, like, okay. It's a piece of cardboard, and I figured you build it, and it would be cheap, and then if you got damaged or thrown away, who gives a shit? For $80 American, you have to buy the software and the piece of cardboard, and what happens when the kid destroys the cardboard? Do you have no more game? Like,
I figure you could probably trace it and kind of, like, rebuild it after.
But still, that seems obtuse and obscene.
I didn't watch the trailer or anything. I just kind of figured it would have been a Mario Maker thing where you buy a game and then you can buy the cardboard stuff on the side, but then maybe other people can make patterns that you can download.
That maybe, could be kind
of
cool.
Maybe that's where it will get to eventually. But as of right now, it is these first party kits, which, I mean, looking at them, yeah, it looks like a lot of great fun to sit there and put these together, but I mean, I'm not a parent, but all I can think of, like, looking at these is where the hell am I going to put that? That it's not going to get smushed or chewed on by the cat?
Like,
or, like,
kids have greasy little hands and they put that shit on everything and it's going to fuck up the cardboard in, like, 20 minutes?
Some of them are constantly drooling or constantly full of mucus for some reason.
In the world of, like, DIY, though, it's super smart because people love building shit. Like, that's what got me. I was like, okay, this is really cool. I like the idea. Like, I saw the fishing rod and I was like, this is kind of awesome. Mm. Like, I could build something and all this. But just hearing the price, I hadn't heard the cost of it. Like, that just puts it, like, that just makes it senseless to me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think this is truly for children. This is, you know, and that's what a lot of people are saying is like, oh, stop shitting all over it. It's for kids. And I totally get that. Mm. But to me, this feels like something I'd see a third party company do.
Yeah, not Nintendo.
Not Nintendo themselves. I do have to get, like I said, I think it's ingenious, but it just feels a little dated.
Yeah. I mean, then again, you have Google selling Google Cardboard for $20 and...
It's a VR set. I think it's a little different, though, because that was that. First of all, it's been a couple of years now, right? Yeah. And that was to give people a taste of VR, an accessible taste of VR, to like kind of reel them into the to buy the big fishes. But I think this is cool. I think it's different. I just am a little bit concerned about the price point, the fact that it's made out of cardboard.
I thought it was going to be $20.
And the software is tied to a kit. If there's no creation, what's the point?
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was it be like one of those things where like you learn all these things. And I mean, Kat, we built that Trio attack hammer. I was thinking, oh God, they're gonna show me how the mechanics of this work, and I will be able to program something and create something. I don't know if we can do that.
I think it's one of those things where we're gonna have to see evolve and see in action, you know, on YouTube eventually.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nintendo, they'll end up sending us something and we'll give her a spin. On 420.
I do have to say that I think that a lot of the backlash that Nintendo's experiencing right now is how they approached the marketing for this announcement.
Mm.
They really made it seem as though it was going to be something that appealed to the platform as a whole.
Mm.
And instead it was it's a very, I mean, we have to admit, guys, this is a niche product.
This should have been part of another Direct where it was just like one thing in amongst other stuff. Because especially after last week's announcement where, yeah, there was cool stuff, but a lot of people were mixed on it too. And everybody was like, oh, well, they'll do another event because like this one dropped out of nowhere and they'll make another event. And then they announced in the morning. So we actually had some, like, I came in that morning and had an email in my inbox and we actually were like, okay, something's coming, right? And then to get this, everybody was kind of confused.
Yeah.
So.
Frant.
Yeah.
Nintendo, one step forward, one step back.
It's not for us, and that's fine. But at the same time, make it valuable. If I had a kid and a kid came to me and said they wanted me to spend $80 on something that was cardboard. I'd be like, you're on crack. Here's some construction paper that cost me $10 or 10 cents at the dollar store.
If you go to like, if you go to Walmart or if you go to like the Discovery store or like really any store that has children's items, you can find all of these STM kits. Like they're not something new and they're much less expensive. And a lot of the time they're reusable, like not all the materials, but most of the materials. So like for me, I'd be like, nah, kid, I'm sorry. I'll go buy you $100, you know, 150 science experiments to do with kids. Like I'll spend $100 on that kit because we can reuse it over and over and over again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm not spending $70 on you know, a cardboard kit.
There's even a kit where the kids build their own mini computer and then learn to code.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's
yeah.
worth like 70-90 US dollars.
That's what I kind of thought this was going to turn into. Anyways, we're going to have to wait and see. We're going to, like, I think it's because it's a physical object too, we have to see. But I gotta say, the memes that have been going on around this are priceless. That Mother 3 one was on point. And
wasn't
the Dark Souls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Allie. Simon, you got like a slew of things here. It's like you went news crazy. So I think you need to start.
Yeah, well, I know that a lot of stuff, you know, caught my attention, but I'll go pretty quickly. So the next two news were kind of like intertwined with each other. So the first one is Facebook is now going to be the main streaming platform for the ESL CSGO tournaments.
So why did they change to that?
No more Twitch. Because Facebook gave them a lot of money, probably. And Facebook wants to start, come out on the streaming market. The games at ESL were already streaming on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They were just streaming on Facebook and on Twitch at the same time. I guess now they signed an exclusivity deal with Facebook. I have no problem with that. The Facebook Live section definitely needs some love. Whenever there is, sometimes when I'm at work, I hope no one's from work is listening. Sometimes I put the game in the background, but Twitch is blocked at work, so I'll put it on Facebook. And it's hard to even find the event, even when the event is live. So sometimes it's like, I know that I go on the ESL page and then I have to go into like videos and then live. Like it's not like right in my face as I open the ESL things. And like there's a couple things that are going to need to be fixed before I think it could be a good platform. But I'm honestly very happy to see Twitch getting some competition on that side. So,
well, Facebook has this new thing coming called Watch or something like that, where they're trying to do like a big video push for like a kind of Netflixy kind of thing. So that might have been one of their first live or live and then on demand afterwards partnerships that they did. And kind of smart. Might as well pull those numbers off Twitch. Why not?
Yeah, I mean it's always it's always good stuff. And ESL, I mean if ever ESL get another major for CS:GO, then Facebook is gonna hit the jackpot because that's millions of people watching the videos. So that's pretty big. So
what's also smart about that? You can't comment unless you use your Facebook account, and you cannot be on Facebook unless you're a real person.
Oh yeah, but I don't think that's gonna stop people from trolling on Facebook.
I think it'll crack down when people realize that their real accounts are attached.
Maybe I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
What else you got?
Well, in other Twitch news, so to Twitch wanting to get on that YouTube money that everyone is kind of leaving YouTube with all the new demonetization rules and the new monetization rules that are like being rolled out right now. a lot of people are kind of looking for an alternative, I think. There's not really anything out there. And then Twitch is like, hey guys, did you know that there's something we've been working on? And then magically, when YouTube just announced that it's going to suck a lot of people, we're like, hey, it's here now. So Twitch announced today, actually, Video Producer, which is going to be a pretty much like video sharing platform. So you don't necessarily have to do a live stream to put content on your Twitch page. So you'll be able to do videos, you'll be able to do exclusive videos for subscribers, and you know, do that kind of stuff. And you know, people can subscribe to your channel, you can get some donation and that kind of stuff. I think all the stuff that Twitch already does for live streaming, it will be there for Video Producer. So that's actually some pretty, I think it's cool news. Not that I want to see Twitch get even more money, but I mean, YouTube clearly has some issues right now with a lot of stuff in their video for smaller video community. So hopefully it kicks them in the butt a little bit and makes them realize that they're losing a lot of people for that. So
one of the cool features that I saw that they had is that first viewing thing where you can almost have like a premiere party. Yep. Where you have a countdown and then everybody can like check in and then you mm-hmm. can watch the pre-recorded video together, mm-hmm. kind of like a movie premiere. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I think that's really neat. And I haven't seen anybody do something quite like that before. So kudos to coming up with that idea. And I think that's the kicker. Whenever, if anybody wants to go and do competition to any of the other platforms, they need to take what they do and like add another additional thing that is really cool to like, you know, put it in the forefront. And that's definitely something that looks really interesting coming from Twitch. And I can see other people copycatting it afterwards.
And like, we'll have to see if, well, I mean, at the same time, they announced that very big YouTube people are going to be making exclusive content on Twitch. So we've got Jack, Skeptikai, Markiplier, Loser Games, and Strawberry 17. I only know Jax and Markiplier of those four. And I know that they have billions and billions mm-hmm. of millions and millions of subscribers. So that's, you know, that's good news. And I feel like a lot of people at YouTube are probably wondering what Twitch is going to do with all that. So I mean, good news, more competition in that market.
Yeah,
good. I'm super glad,
because video games creators are really big part of YouTube's, and they're the ones that are getting demonetized the most, I think, at the moment. Mm-hmm. Right now,
I mean, I think it's a mix of both. It's a little bit like when Patreon started to charge a little extra on donations, because like, so
did they backtrack on that?
They did, because what they wanted to do was, instead of having smaller donations, they wanted to have larger donations, because that was more money for them in the end. And I feel like that's kind of what YouTube is doing, whereas they don't want smaller channels to get money, they rather have bigger channels make more money, but they're also kind of fucking the big channels at the same time. So at this point, who knows what YouTube is doing? Because, like, no one knows anymore.
What's no happening. One knows.
So, nope. And real quick, just before we continue, I just want to give a big shout-out to AGDQ 2018. So it happened, started January 7th, and it ended January 14th. And they raised $2.3 million for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. So that's always, you know, good news. The event is more and more quote-unquote family friendly, so to me a lot of its kind of niche appeal has been lost. You know, the first few AGDQs were really kind of people just having a good time and then like highlighting their games and showcasing the games that they're doing, and just at the same time raising money for Prevent Cancer Foundation. Now it's like, we're getting money for Prevent Cancer Foundation, and what's in the background is kind of just there because it's always been there. So I feel that, but I mean, they still raise the same amount of money that they raised last year. So, like, you know, $2.3 million to cancer. That's never a bad thing. So.
Good on them.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I had some other news, but I think that that's it. That's going to do it for now.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, it's time to get into the topic of the show. And like I mentioned earlier, we're talking with Pixel Princess 80. She is one of the members of our wonderful stream team on Mixer that Allie, Simon, Kat and myself were also part of. Mm-hmm. And she's been doing some pretty cool stuff in the past little while. She first off got to go to PAX South that just happened. which is really cool. So we talk about all her experiences there at PAX South. And then we also got into a little bit of her time when she was participating in Minecon, because she got to play Minecraft with Will Arnett, which is pretty awesome, live on camera. So yeah, let's get into that right after this break. Sitting with Pixel Princess 80. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing good.
Are you jet lagged?
No, not so much, because I spent most of today in bed, so.
That's nice. So we got to talk about all of the fun stuff that you got to do at PAX South. So it just happened last weekend, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly was your involvement? Because I know that you were tied in with Mixer, because for those of you who don't know, Pixel Princess 80 is actually one of the partnered Mixer streamers and part of the GOG team. And you have quite a number of following now. It's been a little while since I last looked and you were at like 20,000. You must be way past that now.
Yes, I'm at 24,500 right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So yeah, what did they have you tied up doing at PAX South?
Okay, so I ended up getting applying for and getting the media badges.
Nice.
So, content creator, it said at the bottom. So I actually got a whole bunch of emails ahead of time from different developers saying, hey, we want to schedule appointments, come check out our stuff. And I was like, absolutely. So I made like all these appointments. So I ran around doing those. I also did some stuff for the Mixer booth. They had me playing Darwin Project, awesome game, and streaming from the actual Mixer booth, which I got locked in.
That was so funny.
Yes. Come to find out, one of my friends who came in the booth like right before I got locked in had actually pulled the little piece of cardboard that was covering the latch off, and that's why I got locked in.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I also did, I hosted a build battle for the Mindfair booth on Sunday, which was kind of surreal because the day before, Direwolf 20 was hosting build battles, and right before me, OMG Chad was. So I'm like little fangirly, and I'm like, I've got to follow these guys up.
Girl, you're a big deal. You've been doing so many cool things, especially in the Minecraft world. You got to go down and enjoy Minecon and be part of that. That had to be pretty cool too. So like, don't knock yourself. You got some cred in that Minecraft department.
It's still surreal seeing these people that, you know, you've watched on YouTube and stuff, and seeing them in a convention setting and being able to go up and be like, you know, what's up? And they're like, hi, like first name basis. And I'm like, yeah.
Amazing.
It was pretty cool.
So cool. So you were there all, is it 4 days? I believe it's four days, right?
No, this one was 3 days.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. PAX West, they had it 4, and I think East, they're having 4 days as well.
So. Okay, perfect.
And so we, I planned most of my appointments for Saturday, which I have learned. Spread them out over 3 days. So it was
too much all at once?
Yeah. I made it to all my appointments. And honestly, if it wasn't for some of my mods that were actually there at the convention, I would not have been able to make my appointments and do everything I needed to do. I had one of my mods that was, you know, holding my camera, filming everything. I had another mod that was like, if I stood too long standing and talking to someone, she'd pull on my backpack and like, come on, we got to go to the next meeting. She was like, we joked, she was my handler.
That's awesome, though.
I had another mod ran to Taco Bell for me because I wasn't going to get lunch. And I was like, yeah. So honestly, I could not have done it this weekend if it hadn't been for my mods helping me.
Well, thank you very much to those very, very handy folks who moderate your channel and also apparently escort you around the building at conventions. I love that. That's amazing.
So if you get a chance to go to a convention, bring your mods with you.
Bring your mods. Rule to everybody. Right. Okay, I want to talk about the experiences and the stuff that you saw at Minecraft. So first off, let's start at that Mixer booth. So Mixer, it looked like they had a fantastic showing. They were partnered with Darwin Project. You had was it only one individual stream booth there at the time?
No, they had two streaming booths going on constantly the whole event.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And the cool thing about the streaming booth, because when I saw that you were broadcasting live and caught the fact that you got locked in the booth, which is hilarious, they were doing some really cool stuff with the interactivity. Mm-hmm. So we were able to change the lights in the booth through Mixer, which was right. really cool. Is that the first time you've used that tool out of Mixer?
The light changing, yes. I've used Interactive for other things and stuff, but, changing the lights, I thought it was really cool because, not only, could you guys see it on camera a bit, but the people all that were walking all around the convention center that, would walk by the booth and stuff, they'd see these lights changing and it would just kind of like draw them in, they even had a couple computers set up outside of the streaming booth so that they could sit there and poke buttons as well. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, great. And do you think that's something that you'd like to bring into your normal everyday stream?
I've already talked to my fiance and asked him how much would it be to start getting some colored lights in the office.
Amazing. Amazing. Do you think it adds an extra layer to a broadcast like that that makes you able to like interact with your community better? Or is it distracting?
Well, it didn't distract me because, again, the lights were behind me, so I didn't actually see them too much.
Okay.
But I think, any form of interactivity you can provide for your viewers is going to help your broadcast because, they want to interact with you. I mean, have you ever, I was talking to one of the developers about this at the convention and stuff, but and he brought up a good point. Like, anytime you're watching a movie or a TV show or something and you're sitting there like, oh my God, I want this to happen so bad. Like, if you had a way to actually interact and make this happen, wouldn't you want to? And that's what they're doing with the interactive and gaming now, with the streaming and stuff. And I think it's just amazing. It gives your viewers something to do while not just sitting watching you, they're actively participating.
And the Darwin Project, now conveniently that just happens to be built by a company here in Montreal. So that's like awesome. Then when I saw you playing that, I was like, yes, Montreal love. They have involvement in that whole interactivity as well. Did you get to play the game with that enabled?
I played that game 3 times.
Yeah.
Because with media badges, I got in early the first day. And so they have like this whole hour where the convention floor is kind of almost dead. There's only media people in there. Mm-hmm. And so I just happened to be standing by the Mixer booth when they started and they're like, come play. We need you right now. And I'm like, okay. So I played it twice within that hour. I actually get to play it fully tomorrow.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. This was just like the demo version they had going on. And so that the audience can like help or hurt you, kind of like Hunger Games style, if you've seen that. You could give them, something awesome or take something away or whatever. So I didn't actually get to play that side of the interactive yet or get to play the director or host part of it yet. So I'm hoping to be able to try that out tomorrow. But I'm really excited about the different things that I did see people do. So
what is Darwin Project? Because we've heard little bits and pieces about it here and there. Is it a battle royale? You mentioned Hunger Games, and that's kind of how I feel about battle royale often. Is it that kind of style?
It is a battle royale style. And you start off, but you have to like gather resources. So you start off by chopping a tree, which that kind of brings me back to my Minecraft stuff, because I love that. You can craft arrows and, different traps and, you want to put on like a fur coat or craft a fire because it gets really cold and you will die. Like I found out, you will die of freezing to death. There's a little bit of like crafting, like maybe like H1Z1 Minecraft kind of stuff. But there's also I can't even think of it. Fortnite, Battle Royale, or PUBG, where you're running around trying to shoot other people and trying to run away and dodge and duck and stuff. So it's kind of a mixture of a couple different games, but I love it because you get a bow and arrow.
Ooh.
And I don't have to remember what sight goes on what gun with what stock, and that's what really confuses me about some of the Battle Royale games is I have to remember all the different, what's the best thing to get?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have
the frying pan. I mean, yes. What?
I've heard of this. I was told when if I ever play PUBG, get a frying pan for my butt.
I did the first game I played.
Mm-hmm.
I just magically. It's like they were saying, look, you get the frying pan this time, and that means you will come back again. because you think you'll win all the time.
So I really like it because it I didn't have to think too much about what is the best weapon to use. I just saw somebody and I shot.
So very cool.
I liked it. Yeah.
Nice. Did you see any other games while you were there?
I did see a lot of games. I found a I got to actually talk to the developers and stuff over at the Tiny Build booth. There is a game coming out that is an Ark style game.
Ooh.
Yes. Without dinosaurs, but with robots.
Oh, man. But is it still like arcade? Like, is it like they're still back in that like time of the dinosaurs? Or is it just style of Ark, but with dinosaurs? Yeah, with
It's the style. Like you put your foundations down and you start building your house and stuff. And the way the foundations look, it reminded me of Ark. And, you know, the art style of it is kind of Ark-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you got to go out and you got to find some, you know, resources and things like that. And you've got hostile mobs that come after you, but you get robots. And one thing I really liked is they have you can make like a little robot minion, and it's kind of early game, but he's very sassy. So if you don't make him happy, he's like, I'm bored. I don't want to work. This is boring, you know? So you've got to like make him a bed and his little room and, you know, stuff like this, but it's not like cutesy cartoony. You know, wow. They did really well. So I can't wait to play that.
Nice. Was there a lot on the show floor?
I was told by some PAX South veterans that there wasn't as much as there was in the past.
Okay.
That they had the queue line was maybe, you know, the area where, you know, you come in to wait to get the convention maybe a little bit smaller in years past. And they had some more booths up and stuff. But this was my first PAX South. Yes, it was quite a bit smaller than PAX West, but it still had a lot of people there, and there was a lot of booths and stuff to look at. So
that's something I was going to ask you, because you'd been to other PAXes. Do they have a flavor depending on where they are? Like, I've never been to a PAX. I'm hoping that I can get to PAX East this year, but I've never been to one, but I'm told they're entirely different from E3, so okay, and other conventions. But do each one, like South versus West versus East, do they have a flavor?
I mean, like, inside the convention hall, pretty much we're just all gamers doing, you know, gaming stuff. I mean, outside, you know, of course, it's a different location, different setting, different type of people walking around. I did quickly find out, don't talk mess about country music while in Texas.
I could have told you that, girl.
No, it was pretty much, you know, the same. There's, you know, gamers trying to get in line to play the games and developers, you know, trying to get you to play their games. So I've never been to any other gaming convention besides PAX West and PAX South. So for me, it was pretty much the same experience, you know.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And activity that you got to do with Minecraft and everything, what exactly did you have to do?
Okay, so it was called Build Battle.
Okay.
And they handed me a microphone. Big mistake.
They know you're used to talking. Come on.
Right. Okay, the difference is I'm used to talking in my office.
Uh-huh.
My computer.
Uh-huh.
So then they give me a camera and they have a little stage set up and then they have, you know, chairs for an audience and they have all these people walking around. So they give me the microphone and they're like, okay, pull four people up. You know, I believe it was Xbox, Minecraft, you know, and I had to tell them like, take this and this and mash it up and build something. You guys got 5 minutes, then we would vote. So I had a half hour up there and honestly, I was looking at the clock like, is this half hour over yet? I had a little bit of case of stage fright, but everybody said I did really well, and they want to talk to me about doing stuff in the future.
So that's amazing.
Unconfirmed yet, but I might be at other Minecraft, you know, events going on. So,
well, congratulations. I knew you were going to do well. You're awesome on stream, and you did awesome at Minecon.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Minecon. What was that like?
Oh, okay. That was amazing. You know, a little background about me. When I used to be in high school and in college, I used to do a lot of theater, but I haven't actually been in a theater since. Going into MindCon, I'm just, you know, I'm not even thinking, you know, theater stuff. I get in there, it is legit a theater with a stage and seats and backstage and curtains and everything, you know, and I'm just like, oh, I'm in my element again, you know?
Excellent.
And we get there at like 8 a.m. They said we had curtain call at 8 for rehearsals. And we get there 12 hours of rehearsals later. We finally get to go back to the hotel.
12 hours? That was the day before, was it?
Yes.
Holy smokes.
Yes. But they fed us. They had like craft service tables up there. And I was like, yes, this feels legit. I could take pictures, but I couldn't post anything.
Right.
Which was really hard. Because there was so much stuff to post. I mean, I met Jeb. I got a picture with Jeb. Okay.
That's amazing.
The next morning, we get there early. They put us, I did my makeup ahead of time. Not thinking. Nope. They took it off, put my makeup on again. They sent all of us girls the hair and makeup. But I was like, oh, this is cool. wired us up with microphones and stuff. I mean, it just felt like really legit. Like you were in like a TV show or backstage at a, you know, waiting for a big performance or something. And then I got to meet Will Arnett, which was so cool. It was so cool. Really nice guy. Very funny, you know, even off camera and stuff. So you know, and then I met some other YouTubers. The funny thing about that is they kept saying, you know, oh, we need the YouTubers to the stage, which they were lumping me in that group. And I'm like, I'm not a YouTuber. I'm a streamer. I was the only streamer.
Really?
Not just Mixer streamer. I was the only streamer up there. Well, OMG Chad streams too, but he's mostly YouTube, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so they finally started calling us content creators.
Well, you just kept going, I'm a Mixer streamer, not a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. Get your name right.
I even wore my Mixer shirt for rehearsals. Yeah, I was like, Mixer! But, so I was the only streamer up there and stuff. And, you know, during rehearsals, there wasn't very much people sitting in the audience. And it was all right. I was like, yeah, I got this. The day... the broadcast right before I was supposed to go on stage the first time, I knew that theater was packed full of people. Plus I knew all the people watching and I'm like, I'm not going to throw up. And I didn't, I held it together.
Good for you.
So,
well, you've been doing awesome stuff on Mixer. And, I know, you know, we've been watching, we've done, you and I and Steph done some co-streams together. I know we got some cool stuff planned in the future. And I just want to say thank you for being part of the GOG team. And, it's really exciting to see you go do things and be able to watch from afar. And, thank you so much for being part of the team. And thank you for agreeing to do the interview today. I can't believe it took us that long to have you on the podcast. It makes natural sense to have you on here. We'll do this again soon. And, enjoy all that Minecraft fun.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, I'll come back anytime you guys want me to. I had fun. So awesome, and I love being part of Girls on Games. I did try to bring something to the convention to show off my, you know, Girls on Games spirit. It just so happened that the box of buttons that I was sending down to PAX never made it.
That's too bad.
Yeah, so
next time.
I still have the buttons. I might have to send them your guys' way, so.
Will you just bring them to the next PAX event you go to?
Yes, I'm trying to get to go to East, so.
There you go.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, indeed. Well, Pax, before I let you go, I want you to give a shout out to all your social media, and of course, your Mixer channel, right? So go right ahead.
I am PixelPrincess80 on Mixer.com and Twitter and Instagram and anywhere there's social media, look for PixelPrincess80.
Perfect. So we will be streaming soon, and I can't wait to go watch the next one of yours.
All right.
Well, that pretty much closes out our show, number 145 in the bag. But before I let you go, of course, want to thank Fun.io, our wonderful website hosting partner. If you're looking for a website of any size or any sorts, you should go check them out. Simon, what's going on that stream team stuff? I know we got new people.
Yes, we actually have new people. Gaming.geek. Today, actually, it was just announced in joining the stream team. So another Mixer partner. Joining up the ranks with GOG, so he streams fairly regularly as well. So I think he's like he's one of those almost full time streamers. So definitely, you know, Mixer.com/. Sorry, what's his name again? Gamer.geek, was it again? I'm asking you. I'm going to edit this out.
Oh,
after.
I don't have it. Name? Hold on.
Gaming.geek. Sorry.
Gaming.geek. Okay.
So, yeah, definitely check him out. Mixer.com/gaming.geek. We chatted a little bit today. He seems like an awesome, fun guy. So, I'm sure his stream are really cool as well. So,
you know why I think we're all going to get along?
Why?
He really likes pizza.
Yeah, he has a pizza heart emote. I was like, dude, I love you.
No, but like every comment I saw him do on Twitter, and then it's all pizza. Which yeah. I'm perfectly all right with. I had pizza for dinner.
Totally good. So it's always someone streaming. GirlsOnGames.tv. Go check it out.
Kat, what's going on in the interwebs?
Well, on our website, we have Of Buffs and Nerfs. Episode 10 is out.
Yes!
Talking about the Overwatch League and getting ready for CSGO Major.
Mm-hmm. Which we're going to be there.
Nice.
And top of show, you heard Simo and I talk about Doki Doki Literature Club. There is a review available of that on girlsongames.ca. It's got spoilers, though, so you've been warned.
Yes. Definitely. If you plan on playing that game, I swear to Christ, do not look up any spoilers online. Please. No. Please.
But get ready for a fucked up
play
game.
Play the game.
Get ready for some horror, like, what
I've
the
been,
fuck am I doing to myself
as
shit.
I've been playing, as I've been watching people play, and I've been saying other people who don't know what it's about, I don't like visual novels. I'm not a fan of visual novels, but that visual novel fucked me up. And it's brilliant. It's really well done. So just going to say Monica, best waifu. That's all I'm going to say.
Also, you need to play Dream Daddy. Just saying.
Yes.
I played it.
All right. Well, before I let y'all go, of course, I want to give you a chance to give your shout outs of your social medias and things, because of course, if you want to go like talk video games with these people, the best place you can do that is on social. So Kat, where can people track you down?
I am CSDSBINS, CSDBien on Twitter, Instagram, most gaming platform, and Mixer. I'm going to start streaming art again, probably next week or the week after. I just need to get my shit going. I need to test the system to be able to stream my iPad.
Okay.
Do it.
How about you, Allie?
You can find me as 8BitBlonde everywhere on the internets, including Twitter, Xbox Live, and Mixer. And I'm going to be starting Monster Hunter Worlds on Mixer soon.
Oh,
so
my God. Ooh. When is that? 20
oh
something?
Oh, my God. 25th?
Oh, I'm not gonna be there, but I'm really excited to play Monster Hunter.
It's okay. I'm actually gonna be away from the 24th until the 28th in the evening. So, on the 28th evening, you can come and join me for some Monster Hunter.
I'm coming back at the 29th, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, you know what, Simon? I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
well,
I do. Wait, VODs.
Yeah. Or yeah. Watch my VODs.
How about you, Simon? Where can people track you down?
I am GOG7 on Twitter, and if you want to know about Buffs and Nerfs, we are at Of Buffs and Nerfs on Twitter.
And I am Leah Jew, our most social media platforms, but Mixer and Xbox, I am GOG Leah. I've been gotten back into the streaming game. I tried streaming straight out of the Xbox to Mixer the other day. It's pretty easy. I want to try connecting a webcam, because it was like so easy.
Is it live now? Like, is it? I know that they were testing. Ali, you probably know now, but...
I think if you were in the Insider program, you could jack into the...
You can plug in your webcam USB
in
the Xbox.
Yeah, it's live now.
Cool.
Yeah, so I want to try that because it was just too easy.
Can you, I'm so sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. I'll answer all your questions.
Can you put an overlay and stuff, or is it just webcam?
No, there's no
webcam. And, okay.
No, but I don't know how it's going to look when the cam's in there. I imagine it's going to be something like how the Kinect looked.
Yep. You probably move the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can see your Mixer chat come up on screen, though it doesn't show in your display. So it's cool. You can see it at least and talk to people and whatever, but they don't see that.
Well, if you have a second monitor, you can watch it on there, no?
Yeah, and that's what I was doing because I had never done before. But you can turn on the settings and you can turn on if you want party chat to be in there, your mic on, your cam on, and you can have chat show up on screen if you want to. Cool. It's cool. So, yeah, but of course, you guys want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games, right? That's right. So you can track us down on Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games. We are Girls on Games on Instagram. If you want to continue this lovely conversation and more, you can do so on discord.me/girlsongames. Come to our Discord channel. We like to talk of things. It's a lot of fun. But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can track us down at our website. That is our home base. It is girlsongames.ca. So it's been a wonderful week. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Pixel80, for being on the show. I can't wait to go play some more Minecraft because I'm building a boat and it's going to be awesome. So
Are you on a boat, motherfucker?
I'm on a boat, motherfucker. I will be. Right now it's only bits and pieces, but it's coming. It's coming. All right, I'm going to go do that. So have a wonderful week. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Bye.